We'll just read verse 1. Seems to be somewhat of a transition when you begin to read chapter 7. The book takes on the likeness of the Proverbs. And of course, that makes sense because the writer of the Proverbs is the same, Solomon. And so verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would descend into our midst and you would speak with us, Lord. Father, heaven would not be heaven if the Lord Jesus Christ was not there. And that's why I think the psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but thee? Father, why would we want to go to heaven if you weren't there? And so, Father, why would we want to come and gather in the church if the Spirit of God was not here? And so, Father, we ask that you would speak to us. Father, point us to that name which is above every name, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A good name is better than precious ointment. So what's a good name? I thought today, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet said, because you've done this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord, or blaspheme that good name of the Lord. The sweet psalmist of Israel, who was had in good reputation and a good name, had dragged the name, the Lord's name, through the dirt, so to say. He gave occasion, and when we sin, we carry the name of God through our sin. So he, a saint of God, gave occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the name of the Lord. I kept thinking about that. But what is a good name? A good name meaning the character or reputation of the person named, or the memory of them. We think of certain people, we think of them by name. I think of you by name. A good name comes from an honorable and esteemed reputation. But we must know that there is none good but God. Therefore, if you would have a good name in this world, you must first be a possessor of the Spirit of God. If we would have a good name. There be good and bad names and people in the world. Good and bad people in the world. Those names are those people that are good or bad are so because either of their honor or their dishonor, because of their character and reputations. Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the just or the righteous is blessed. The memory of the just is blessed. That is, they have a good name. See, after you die, your body goes to the grave. Your spirit ascends to God, or descends to the pit. But your name continues to live, in a sense. We remember the names of many that have passed, good and bad. So the memory of the just or the righteous is blessed. They had a good name. But the name or the names of the wicked, the wise man says, shall rot. Just hearing the names of certain persons, we deduce and we discern them as good persons or bad or evil persons by what or who they were in this life. I'm talking people that have passed. Think of these names, and as I repeat every name, you think of that person, and you'll think of what made them, in this respect, infamous. Cain, Esau, Jezebel, Judas Iscariot. You're thinking of them, aren't you? Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein. These infamous men and women were cruel, they were wicked, and they were hateful. We know their names, and we know the history of their sins. Could you lower me a little bit? I'm sounding kind of loud. Regrettably, although these infamous sinners have perished, their names relive themselves in the lives of sinners today who emulate them in their cruelty, their hatred, and their wicked ways. Now, we're talking about a good name, but I wanted to contrast for you those that have dishonorable names. But then there are many also whom we remember who had good names. Do you remember the woman who took the precious and costly ointment and broke that box that it was in and anointed Jesus with it, poured it on his head? Do you remember that woman? To this woman, his good name was better and infinitely more valuable than her costly and precious ointment. Hence our text, a good name is better than precious ointment. To this day, brethren, her name lives on. To this day, we remember and are instructed by this woman's deed, what she actually did. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 13, he said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." It's a charge from the Lord Jesus for us preachers to tell people about this woman. "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world," the whole world. And so we remember her. The memory of the just is blessed. This woman had a good name. Then there was Cornelius, who was a devout and good man and one that feared God with all of his house, his entire house. Remember, Barnabas in the book of the Acts is called a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Barnabas was called a good man. And then Demetrius, 3 John, of whom the Apostle John wrote, "He hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself." And I could go on and on from the scriptures, but just to show you these who had a good name. Look at Hebrews 11:4, Hebrews chapter 11:4, and I want to show you what I just said a few minutes ago about your name continuing to live. Your character, your reputation, your honor or your dishonor, your testimony, your witness. In Hebrews 11:4, the writer of Hebrews says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Now, when I mentioned Cain's name, what did you all think of? Yeah, I mean, so you think of his name. But notice it says, "Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he," that is Abel, "obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." And this is really what I wanted to get to. "And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh." Abel's testimony continues to live. And so will yours. And so should yours, if you believe in that good name of Christ. See, these persons had good names. And though they have long since passed into the presence of God in heaven, the memory of their lives here on earth continues to teach and instruct us in our lives in this world. For it was their faith in the good name of Christ that brought goodness to their names. See, there would be no goodness in my name. There would be no honorable reputation in me except it be for the goodness and righteousness of Christ. So does yours and my influence, do our words and our reputations, do our names point sinners to that good name of Christ? And so a good name, meaning an honorable and a highly esteemed name, is better. Better meaning more valuable, more highly valued than precious or the most costly ointments, or the most valuable thing in the earth, the most valuable of any treasures. Listen, if any of us will have a good name in this life, it will only be because of that good name of Christ in whom we have come to trust. We must know that. His name is better than every name. His name identifies him as that most excellent person of God who was manifest in the flesh, who left heaven, who laid aside his glory, and who took upon him the form of a servant to suffer and die for a world of sinners. That's that good name of Christ. Remember, Jesus told that rich man, he says, "Good master," and Jesus says, "There is none good but God. Why callest thou me good?" Some might suppose Jesus to have been saying, "Don't call me good," but he wasn't saying that. He was just asking him, "Why do you call me good?" The fact is, he was right. He was good. And he says, "There is none good but God." See, brethren, it is through faith in his most excellent name that we are saved and have forgiveness for our sins. It is through faith in his most excellent and worthy name that we are changed from sinners to saints and from children of wrath to children of God. It is through that good and worthy name. If I have a good name now, I will tell you that I did not have a good name before I was saved. And I'm not telling you that I have a good name now, but if I do, it's because of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. The book of the Acts, chapter 3 and verse 13. After Peter had healed the lame man, he says in verse 13 of chapter 3, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And so, his name through faith in his name. Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. Next page, or turn the page. Again, speaking about the impotent man, he says, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." None other name. Jesus' name is not only a good name, it's the best of names. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. And I want you to think as we go through this iteration of verses, how do you carry his name? How is his name associated with your name? How is Jesus associated with Jimmy? How is Jesus associated with Tom? How is Jesus associated with Ben or Gary? How is Jesus associated with Yvette, with Kathy, with Deborah, with Kim, with Wita? How is his name associated with us? If our name's good, it's because we have faith in his name. And so, Philippians 2:8, it says, "And Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Just two more. Hebrews 1 and verse 1, and then we'll get to the second part of verse 1. The writer of Hebrews starts, he says, "God, or God the Father, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory," his being the Father, so he's saying, "who being the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his," the Father's person, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." A more excellent name. And then James 2 and verse 7, I love this passage. He says there, "of those that blaspheme that worthy name by which thou art called, do not they rather blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called," that worthy name of Christ. And so, brethren, a good name is better than precious ointment. And the best of names is that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a good name in the eyes of God, it's because you possess another righteousness and not your own. It's because you possess the goodness and righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed unto you by the life and death and blood of Christ. And in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1b, it says there, I'll just read the whole verse for you again. "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death," and it's implied, "is better," which the word "better" is not there, but "the day of death than the day of one's birth." Death better than birth? Now, we must first understand this about what Solomon is saying. I believe he is speaking of the day of death as being better than birth for those that die in the Lord. Because the day of one's death, who is lost and at enmity against God, is certainly not better than the day of their birth. To die in your sins is not a good death. To die in your sins and to perish eternally is to be eternally lost, and that is not good. However, for a saved man or woman, to die in the Lord is to enter into the state of eternal blessedness. As you get older in the Lord, you should experience some of this. It's probably a morbid thought to those that are lost when you say, "I look forward to death." And when you can actually say that of a truth. Think about it. as you look at Revelation 14, 13, the book of the Revelation 14, 13, to the lost man, death is the king of terrors. It's what the book of Job calls it. Death can be very ugly. We die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But to the saint of God, Psalm 116 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so can we not say that death is our friend? Does it not usher us into the presence of God for all eternity, into that state of eternal blessedness where we will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord? Do we not long for that? Do we not thirst for that? Is that not better than being born and entering into life as a sinner? One that's not saved? One who's only been born once? Revelation 14, 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Can't you embrace that verse? That they may rest from their labors. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Death is ugly. Death is the wages of sin. But to the saint of God, I would say it's a soft landing. It's not the king of terrors. Yes, it looks like a lion, but a lion with no teeth. And when she comes, she will roar. But the sting of death is taken away. The sting, because our sins have been forgiven. Philippians 1:21. I believe every true saint of God can bear witness with the words of Paul. When he says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two. I'm stuck in the middle, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We should share those desires. It's quite spiritually natural to share those desires. Beloved, when children are born into this world, they come into the world full of sin and trouble. Beside the fact that they are sinners themselves. It's amazing, grievous, that you do not have to teach them to sin. It's in them to sin. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Truly better for the death of a saint than the birth of a sinner. The day of death. For that saint, that sinner that's been born twice. Better than the day of a birth of a sinner. Man that is born of woman, Job says, comes forth full of trouble, and the sparks fly upward. There's not a one of us that does not fit. It fits every one of us. That's Job 5:7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Job 14:4. And so truly the day of one's death is only better when that one's soul has first been regenerated, born again by the Spirit of God, born again by believing in that most excellent name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior to all those that put their trust in Him. And so let every one of us choose that good name of Jesus Christ above every precious and perishing thing in the earth, over every precious and perishing treasure. And then consider also the day of death better than the day of one's birth. And I believe that every Christian should think like this. We should look forward to that eternal day. And you can't separate the two. As you look forward to being in the eternal presence of Jesus Christ, you must look forward to that time when your body and soul shall separate, if the Lord does not return before that time. And so the day of one's death, better than the day of one's birth. Brethren, let's go forth and let's carry the name of Christ. May it be closely associated with our name. When someone sees us, let them not think of our names. Let them think of that good name of Christ. Let them associate us with Christ. And in those times when we fall and trip and sin, let's make sure that they know that those sins are not associated with Christ. They're associated with us. And so, I pray the Lord would bless this to your hearts. Let's bow and pray. Father, we ask for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for that best of names. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, his name is the sweetest of all names. Father, we love him. If I could say we can't wait to see him, to actually lay our eyes upon him in heaven. Oh God, may our desires always be toward our Lord. Father, help us to live above this world, especially in this time. Let us think as the Apostle Paul. It should be in us for me to live as Christ, but to die as gain. And so let us do that, Lord. Let us live for Christ. And let us know to die would be in his eternal presence, to rest from our earthly labors, to never again be infected by the sins of this world. Oh God, please be with every one of us this night. Grant us a rich measure of grace as we go to our homes. Forgive us for our sins, oh God. Sanctify us with this word. Use the word to make us holy, to sanctify us. Father, to separate us more and more from worldliness. Father, use this word, O God, to lift our spirits, O God, that we would trust in you fervently. Help us to be a people of prayer. Help us to trust you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Help us to run to that refuge every single moment of every day. Help us, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor. Thank you for your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.